The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, in today's sports climate, every time you turn on the television or the radio, you're going to find another talking head telling you, get your money, celebrating athletes, fighting for every dollar. Today, Jameis Winston made one of the smartest decisions of his career, and he did it by taking less money. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests are at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, the NCAA might just be falling apart as we speak. College basketball is actively losing to the NBA's G League. Is it the end of college basketball? At the end of yesterday's show, we stumbled upon a debate. Who's on the Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls? Who's on the Mount Rushmore of 90s sex symbols? This after Carmen Electra made her big re-debut in The Last Dance, the documentary on ESPN about the final year of the Chicago Bulls dynasty. We think we've narrowed in three of the members of the Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls: Carmen Electra, Pam Anderson, and Jenny McCarthy. But we're having trouble filling out that fourth slot. We're going to debate it throughout today's show. Plus, now that the NFL draft is in the books, who are my top 10 teams in the NFL? That'll all be coming up a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, broke down the details today as it became official that Jameis Winston signed a one-year contract with the New Orleans Saints. He is a backup quarterback now, and he's being paid less than even a backup quarterback can expect. The details are, it's a one-year contract that carries a base value of $1.1 million. Winston got a $148,000 signing bonus and a base salary of $952,000. He can get to $3.4 million with incentives. What this says to me is that Jameis Winston desperately wanted to be a New Orleans Saint, that he most likely approached Sean Payton as opposed to the other way around, that the conversation most likely went like this: I want to learn under you. Well, we already have a backup quarterback. In fact, we just paid Taysom, so we're not going to really be able to pay you. That's all right. We'll figure out the money. I want to play for you. I want to be a New Orleans Saint. And in fact, in his introductory press conference today, Jameis Winston was asked, hey, Jameis, did you have other offers out there in the NFL?
Yes, I did, but I'm a New Orleans Saint, and that's where my focus is. I think this was definitely one of the best opportunities for me to grow as a quarterback and as a professional in this league. So I'm going to do my best to take full advantage of this opportunity that was presented to me.
What an impressive decision by Jameis Winston, a decision that would defy the advice of almost every television talking head. Every time a player's money comes up, it's the moral obligation of anybody with a microphone to say, get your money, even if it is to the detriment of their long-term career. Jameis just made a long-term decision and sacrificed some of his short-term money. My guess? At least $10 million over this next year. If Jameis reaches incentives, and I don't know how he's going to reach incentives if he's not on the field, but if he reaches incentives, he'll make $3 million. What does a high-end backup quarterback make in the NFL? $13 million a year? And make no mistake, while Jameis has earned questions about his ability to be a starting quarterback, he is without a doubt a high-end backup quarterback. But what an impressive decision to make less in the short term to rehabilitate his long-term career. I feel like I've done this several times in my career. I'm not sure it's yet paid off, but when I graduated law school, I went to work for a group of small town newspapers in Texas, small towns outside of Austin, Llano, Texas, Johnson City, Texas. I made $19,000 a year while my buddies were making six figures, $100,000+ a year as lawyers. But I wanted to learn the business. I needed to understand. I needed to grow. There was ways for me to get paid. There was ways for this to help me beyond simply in my pocketbook. Again, by the way, when I wanted to get into television, I worked for free. I worked for free for a company called National Review. I worked for free in television because I needed experience. I needed connections. I needed to show that I could do it. It wasn't because I was into making less. It was because I had a bigger long-term vision in mind. Jameis clearly has a bigger vision in mind. And you have to respect the sacrifice that he was willing to make, because $10 million is nothing, nothing to sneeze at. Think about it this way. Jameis has made $46 million over his career. That's over 5 years. Let's say he's had to give up 50% of that in taxes and agents fees. And he probably hasn't had to give up that much, because Florida doesn't have a state income tax and football agents take only about 4% of your money. But let's be aggressive and just say that Jameis ended up with something like $25 million over 5 years. Anybody can make that last a lifetime if you're smart. Now, did Jameis save his money or did he blow it? I don't know the answer to that, but I don't think Jameis would have been stupid to be spending. I don't think it would have been another tale of a professional athlete who didn't realize the gravy train wouldn't come along forever. I think Jameis would have been pretty logical to say, I've got another big contract coming. I'm going to make some money. And even into his rookie contract, where he played fairly well, Jameis could have anticipated another multi-tens of millions of dollar deal at the tail end of his rookie deal. In short, even if Jameis didn't save a thing, I wouldn't call him stupid, because I think he knew money was coming, and it would have come. That's the point. Even as a backup quarterback, maybe it had been $13 million. But Jameis made a long-term decision, sacrificing some of his short-term money. He said, I want to be New Orleans Saint. I want to learn under Sean Payton. And I think he made the exact right calculation. But because what he wants on the back end of this is not to be seen as a high-end backup quarterback, but a legitimate franchise quarterback. Not just a starting quarterback, but a franchise quarterback, the kind that makes $25, $30 million a year. And I think he chose the right place to go do that. This is how Jameis is describing his experience, he hopes, with the New Orleans Saints.
Being a part of New Orleans Saints, being a part with Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, Sean Payton, Coach Joe Lombardi, Coach Pete Carmichael Jr. When you think about that room, I mean, that's like a Harvard education in quarterback school.
That's Jameis Winston on Charlie Ward's Instagram Live. It's a Harvard education of quarterback school. My anticipation is, whether or not Jameis sees the field this next year in New Orleans, he's going to rehabilitate his market value. My anticipation is, at the back end of this 1 year, a year that he makes a big financial sacrifice to become a New Orleans Saint, he's going to have opportunities to start again in the NFL. We got into a pre-show debate. It was mostly me versus Mike A on whether or not this entire gamble that Jameis is taking is predicated on whether or not he gets on the field. Does he need to get on the field in New Orleans to show the rest of the league he's a worthy guy of investing in to be a franchise quarterback or a starting quarterback? I don't think so. I think he could sit the entire year. I think if he just learned under Sean Payton, I think there will be teams next year willing to hand out more money than what Jameis just sacrificed in his 1 year as a backup quarterback. I'll tell you what, a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, we'll lay out what the market could look like. How many teams we anticipate will need quarterbacks? How many teams will go to the draft to find their answers, and what that leaves Jameis in his choices? Because all he needs is two. All he needs is two teams that think he's the answer after a year of Harvard education and quarterback from Sean Payton. If he's got two teams that decide, hey, a guy who's about 26 years old, who just did a mentorship with Sean Payton, who showed a ton of potential, even with the turnovers in Tampa Bay, might be a good way to go about solving your quarterback problems. We'll get into the debate that Mike A and I had and that market for Jameis a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. But for now, bravo to Jameis. What a wise decision. What a sacrifice in the short term for a return in the long term. What an investment in himself. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Speaking of investments, it seems that college basketball's biggest recruits, the biggest prospects in the nation, are increasingly deciding that the NCAA is not the place to begin your career. We now have the third big-time recruit that said no thanks to the NCAA and said yes to the G League. But this one did it in a way that should scare college basketball to its core. I'll explain next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Feel the Cain. Will Cain.
All right, so my list is top five 90s frontmen, parentheses, who are no longer living.
Okay.
Eddie Vedder, Billy Corgan, these guys are not applicable. That's not a word.
They're not what?
Never mind.
No. Somebody grab that.
Somebody grab that, please. Damn it.
Top five 90s It Girls. As long as we're making top five lists from the 90s, we need to figure out the one we stumbled upon yesterday. In the final of our show, we realized we're missing one name. Who are the first three on our Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Yet another top high school basketball recruit has chosen to go to the G League and not the NCAA. And this could be spelling the end of college basketball as we know it. I've told you before, I don't believe that the G League will hold all the cards in the battle between the NCAA and the NBA on who gets high school's top recruits. The NCAA is still the biggest promotion vehicle in all of college basketball. It still makes stars out of people like Zion Williamson, and that's a hard thing to replicate in any startup league. But what the G League has begun to do is attract talent and attract some of the best talent in the land. Just a few weeks ago, Jalen Green, the number one recruit in the nation, announced he would be going to the G League over going to the NCAA. Now, Jalen Green announced this having never committed to a college. Not long after he chose to go to the G League, Isaiah Todd, who I believe is the number 14 recruit in the nation, who had verbally committed to attend the University of Michigan, said he too would be going to the G League and its new player development program, where recruits can make something like $500,000 a year. They'll get pro coaching. They'll compete against other top talent coming out of high school in preparation for a career in the NBA. And then yesterday, the nation's number 20 recruit, Dacian Nix, who had not just verbally committed, but signed a letter of intent with UCLA some 6 months ago, backed out of that commitment and announced he too would be going to the G League. Three of the nation's top 20 recruits have found that their career path is better served going to the NBA's development program than it is playing in the NCAA tournament. Does this mean the end of college basketball as we know it? Jay Billis, who covers it very well, was on SportsCenter with Stage Steele, where he addressed this idea.
Yeah, it's going to diminish college basketball. It's not some canary in the coal mine where it's going to ruin the game or anything. College basketball will be just fine, but I think it wants to be better than fine. And the NCAA has turned a blind eye to this and, in fact, has encouraged this sort of pathway, basically saying, if you don't want to be Shane Battier or Bill Bradley, we don't want you at all. And I think for educators, that's an interesting message to send to young people, the idea that if you have professional aspirations that are going to, they're going to have you leave school, we'd rather not have you come at all.
Now, I'm not sure the NCAA has totally turned their back on the idea that top recruits shouldn't come to to their college institutions to become pros. Because just yesterday, and then bleeding into this morning, the NCAA has begun the process of passing a rule that allows for college athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness. This has been talked about for some time, and it looks like we're moving down the path of college athletes being able to endorse products, appear in video games, find ways to make money off of their fame, separate and independent from their affiliation with the school. I believe that's one of the big notes when it comes to accepting money for name, image, and likeness. You can't do it while wearing, for example, a sweatshirt that says USC Trojans on it. You can't do it while being affiliated with any kind of college. Now, is that enough to offset the financial, training, and pathway riches that are being offered through the G League's pathway program? Obviously, for three of the top 20 recruits this year, the answer is no. Instead, the G League is becoming their preferred destination. Now, I acknowledge I have said I think college basketball is always going to play a big role because of its ability to draw the spotlight, because of its ability to make celebrities out of college basketball players. But I do think that the G League's enticement is getting big enough that more and more we're going to see what Knicks and Todd and Green just chose to do. When you're talking about this kind of money and you're talking about this kind of coaching, and you're talking about this kind of competition, it is better for professional development, true development, than playing college basketball. It might not be better for brand development in the short term. That may still be college basketball that can make you a more immediate celebrity, but I'm afraid the G League might be a better answer for being a professional basketball player. Jalen Rose says it's not the end of college basketball, though. Listen.
Top players going from high school to the G League and or overseas and eventually to the NBA, because that's what's going to happen in a couple of years, is not going to stop collegiate sports from happening. College basketball at an elite level is still going to be played. We're still going to be excited about the NCAA brackets and the Final Four. That's still going to be happening. The difference is the top level prospects, instead of going to college, are not going to be going to play in the professional ranks. So it just creates other options for young people, and they deserve that.
They do deserve that, and it might just be the better option for those that plan on being pros. With the Will Cain Show is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, we were talking about Carmen Electra's reappearance in pop culture through the documentary on the final years of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, The Last Dance, which airs on ESPN. And that got us talking about who were the biggest it girls of the 90s. I said Carmen Electra was sort of a sequel. Pam Anderson was the original. She was the big one. And we agreed that Carmen Electra, Jenny McCarthy, and Pam Anderson are on the Mount Rushmore of 90s it girls. But we had trouble filling out that fourth spot. I know everybody on the show has some big opinions, Nuno, Mike A., and Bubba, but I also know that our phone lines exploded yesterday, and they have once again. So in the same way we do with our big movie debates on Friday and Monday, let's set the big board. Let's brainstorm, and let's at least put up who the options are before we settle on awarding that fourth spot. I'm going to go to the phone lines really quickly. JC in Mississippi, who should be in that fourth spot?
Anna Nicole Smith.
JC, I think that's a very good nomination. Mike A., you hate that nomination. You told me on the phone today.
I absolutely hate that nomination. I'll be honest with you. I don't agree with your three. I think you've got two of the absolute locks, and then I think it's the debatable for three and four.
Wow. We're going to have to revisit that, but hold on. Let me put a few more up on the big board. Like Carl in Delaware has a good name. What's up, Carl?
Hey, Will. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and this one maybe people had a block on. Heather Locklear.
I had a buddy text me that yesterday, Carl. We got to put Heather Locklear on the board. I think she could be on there. I'm going to have to define the terms in just a moment because, for example, Dylan in Oklahoma is going to give me a name, but Dylan, I don't think this one belongs in the debate. Go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah, I think she belongs in the debate because she got started with Sports Illustrated swimsuit. She wasn't known for TV and movie. Kathy Ireland, she was able to go into movies afterwards with the movie Necessary Roughness, but she was the top 90s girl when it came to swimsuit issues.
Okay, thanks for the call, man. Here's why I don't think Kathy Ireland belongs. Because we got to set our terms. I told the guys, I'm talking about people who were famous for being famous. They were like the pre-Kim Kardashian. They were famous for being good-looking. Kathy Ireland's a supermodel, and I know that's technically being good-looking, but Kathy Ireland and Tyra Banks and Cindy Crawford, you have to acknowledge, we all have to acknowledge, we're talking about a different genre than Pam Anderson and Carmen Electra, right? That's different. And you can't go movie stars, and I don't even know that you can go big TV stars. We're talking about people who are in this one, and I've got to put my finger on what it is, but this one category. I think Anna Nicole Smith fits. Is the category Playboy? We'll continue talking about that. It's coming up on The Will Cain Show, along with Jeff Darlington on the latest from the NFL. That's next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, let's settle some debates with our buddy Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider. Before we start, let's just try it this way this time. Do you have any breaking news you want to share with us?
Yes. I don't have anything right now. The only thing I'm trying to do is keep my kids quiet. I don't know anything. Like, I haven't even talked to anybody. I just feel horrible.
You sound so defeated. You sound so defeated.
I'm 100% defeated.
Why?
I am defeated.
Why?
Defeated. What? What do you mean, why? Like every other American.
Oh, no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a list because my wife and I started it. I love my children.
We all know. We don't need that disclaimer anymore. We all love our children.
Probably more than most people. But,
what does that mean?
But I'm starting a running list of most annoying things about my children that have been revealed during quarantine. I'm going to give you number one, okay? I'm going to share it with everybody. Jeff, I'm running on 3 straight weeks of English accents, and I don't know what to do.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's terrible, dude.
That's a first world problem. That's awesome. I want my son to do an English accent.
12 years old and 8 years old, and everything is mate, and they're terrible English accents. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Because it feels good in my mouth, Dad. I'm like, stop it. It's terrible. That's number one on my list right now, but I got more. What's the most annoying thing you're dealing with right now?
I literally just – they're in the backseat. Guys, be quiet for 1 second. I'm on the radio. I put them in the car. We're just driving around because – I just need to strap them into their seats. Like, I just needed, like, the break, you know, the confinement. I don't know what the most annoying thing is. It's all horrible. But I love them, dearly.
Right, of course. Right, more than most people.
More than most people.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider here on The Will Cain Show. All right, since you have no breaking news, you're going to settle a couple of debates for us first, okay? So, Mike A, who works on the show, and I got into a big pre-show debate. I contend that Jameis sees not 1 minute of playing time in New Orleans. It's still a great career decision for him.
Yep.
Even worth taking potentially $10 million less this year. And he will get somebody to offer him a starting job and pay him pretty 100%. Well for it without playing 1 minute in New Orleans.
It's so stupid too, right? Like, you've already seen the narrative start to be constructed. This is a brilliant move by Jameis, that he'll learn from the best. And that starts the reclamation process in itself. Like, we're likely not going to see Jameis on the field, unless it's a Teddy Bridgewater situation and he gets his chance. But instead, just like every quarterback who goes through the Patriots system and comes out, you know, you're expecting them to be better. For Jameis, that's exactly what's going to happen here. And he probably will learn a lot from Peyton and Breeze. But the narrative in itself will increase both his potential trade value and his worth when it comes to free agency. There is no question in my mind that as long as he stays clean, out of trouble completely, that he will wind up getting a starter job 1 year from now.
I totally agree with that. And a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, I'm going to do the math. I'm going to break down the teams who are probably looking for a starting quarterback next year. I'll minus out the teams that will find one in the draft. And you'll find out All it takes is two, Jeff, right? Two teams who need a starting quarterback. And what will Jameis be next year? 25, 26? I don't even know how old he is.
And by the way, here's the other thing, Will. Here's another narrative that you'll see unfold. Jameis is a really good locker room guy. People, I think, have a misunderstanding from the standpoint. I'm not saying that he's misunderstood. He has done a lot of stupid things that have caused his reputation to be diminished on his own. All I'm saying is that there is a misunderstanding about the way he is perceived in a locker room. He is not a divisive player. He is not. He is very well liked organizationally, and I've seen that in Tampa. People really enjoy having him around, and I think that that's another thing that's going to happen. You're going to hear from New Orleans. Jameis Winston is great. He has been the ultimate perfect teammate. What a great guy. And that, too, will play into what ultimately winds up being him getting one of those starting jobs.
Now, one more note on this before I get to the other debate you have to settle. What's interesting will be, does Sean Payton have a ringing endorsement of Jameis at the end of this thing? And the odds are yes, just like high school coach would tell a college recruiter, yeah, my guy's great. But the truth will be in his actions, right?
Yep. 100%.
Will they try to re-sign Jameis a year from now? But here's my thing on that. They didn't try very hard to re-sign Teddy, and he even got a big deal at the end of this thing.
Yeah, but
right?
that was because Breeze was sticking around.
They would have tried to re-sign him otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know what would have happened if Breeze. You know, it's a totally different deal there. So, I think that under the assumption that Sean Payton seems to also be living under when he had that Freudian slip by saying that this is Breeze's last year. I think that. That this is a one-year tryout in some capacity when it comes. So to your point, I think a team will bite on Jameis in a year, but to your point, if the Saints are not one of those teams, that might be a little bit of a warning sign of what's to come after that.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider here on the Will Cain Show. As I've gotten to know you, Jeff, I've realized something. If I spring an open-ended question on you, that's not your favorite thing. Maybe I need to make this multiple choice. So here's what I'm about to ask you.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you kind of pull the ripcord. If I tell you to, you're going to know what I mean in a minute. I'm going to tell you the question, and then I'll talk so you have some time to think about it. I want to know who should be on the 90s Mount Rushmore of It Girls. Sex symbols, famous for being good looking. Now listen, as you think about that, the reason we're having the conversation is because of Carmen Electra in the Last Dance documentary.
Yeah.
We have settled on three people. I think somebody wants to debate me on one of them. I think there are three spots that are clearly reserved. Pam Anderson, Carmen Electra, and Jenny McCarthy. The fourth we're having trouble with, and there's a lot of names being bandied about.
I think you're showing your age, though, by the way. Did you say 80s? Did you say strictly 80s or 90s?
90s, I said. Yeah, why? You want to put Heather Locklear?
No. Okay, I'm back on the same page here. So 90s, okay. Jenny McCarthy, 100%.
Yes.
Carmen Electra, 100%. Pam Anderson, 100%. And was that one? What was her name? She was also on Baywatch.
Okay, I'm going to help you. Keep going.
No, just go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, Yasmine Bleeth?
Yasmine Bleeth. Yes, Yasmine Bleeth. What a blast from the past. Oh, love her.
Was that who you were thinking of?
Yes, it was, 100%. Loved her.
Okay, all right.
That was it. Right. Yasmine Bleeth. She was Baywatch, right?
She was Baywatch. And I think Jenny McCarthy wasn't Baywatch, but the other two were.
No, singled out.
Yes.
Correct. Which, by the way, highly underrated show.
Okay, so there's Jeff Darlington. I knew you'd have an answer. He has a nomination of Yasmine Bleeth. She joins Heather Locklear on the big board. Anna Nicole Smith is on the big board. We'll settle that fourth spot by the end of the show today, but the names and the nominations
Heather are Locklear. Heather Locklear probably should trump Yasmine Bleeth.
Well, I just think Locklear might have been more 80s is my thing. I'm not sure she was 90s.
Maybe. Yasmine Bleeth is a great sleeper pick.
Okay, it's like right after the draft, we're still doing sleeper picks. All right, man, it's really good. All right, go have fun with your kids.
All right, they're in the back seat, and I'm staying outside. I got to get them out. Don't worry, the air conditioning's on.
The windows are rolled down. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider here on The Will Cain Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. After the draft, who are the top 10 teams in the NFL? I'll give you 10 to 6 next on The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Free agency is in the books. The NFL draft is in the books. Who are my top 10 teams in the NFL? That's coming up in just a moment on The Will Cain Show. As Jordan's fame peaked to an unparalleled level in the early 90s with consecutive NBA titles and a starring role in the Dream Team, his image as Air Jordan made him a profound cultural figure. Yet with extraordinary fame came extraordinary scrutiny, and in 93 it all came to a head with the Bulls' pursuit of a third straight title, shadowed by questions about Jordan's gambling. Episode 5 and 6 of The Last Dance premiere this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Before I get into my top 10 teams in the NFL, speaking of profound cultural figures, we're trying to sort out our Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls. I think we are operating a little bit with loose parameters. I'm going to have to lay down the law on what we're exactly talking about in just a moment. But before we go, here's a tweet I just got. And this is from a guy who goes by the handle Dad Morocco. He says, I think 1 through 3 are absolute locks. For me, Brooke Burke sneaks in as the fourth spot. So my first three spots that are locks, according to him, are Jenny McCarthy, Pam Anderson, and Carmen Electra. But one of the guys on the show, Mike A., says, whoa, 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 I only agree with two of those.
Yes, that's true. I think Pamela Anderson and Carmen Electra are absolutely 100% in there. I think you have a personal reason for putting Jenny McCarthy in there. And I think while she's definitely in the conversation and might ultimately win a spot, I think she's more up for debate.
I think you're doing a Nuno take, Doctor, seeming like I have an ulterior motive trying to elevate myself. Only for having really met
I learned
Jenny.
From the best.
No deeper story. Jenny and I have no deeper relationship other than having met a few times. But no, Jenny's clearly one of the biggest 90s It girls. I'll tell you what. We'll get the other names out there. The big board is starting to get filled out. I'll tell you this, Mike. If you've got two better names, then I'll hear it. If you have just
you want
one
them
name.
Right now?
No, we'll do it in just a minute. The phone lines are lit up. We're going to get the folks in. We'll get you. We'll get Bubba. We'll get Nuno. And I'm going to lay down what I think the parameters are. Because I've had enough of this supermodel stuff. We're not talking about supermodels, right? I don't think we're talking about movie stars. So we'll lay out the parameters in just a moment. But my top 10 teams in the NFL post-draft look like this here from 10 to 6. At number 10, the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers did not help out Aaron Rodgers, but we acknowledge they went 13-3 last year and went to the NFC Championship game. Is that moving forward or backward this offseason? In fact, as rumors circulate that Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers aren't a happy marriage, you can't project them to the same place they were a year ago. I'm going to get into that marriage a little bit later here in the Will Cain Show and what it says about Mike McCarthy and his tenure there. At number 9, the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings had my third favorite draft in the NFL. I love their picks. I think, now it was Baltimore Ravens had the best by Pro Football Focus's board, but the Vikings had volume, and they picked up good players every step of the way. I think they have been underrated under Zimmer and Cousins. I think they're one of the top 10 teams in the league. At number 8, no surprise, the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think the Seahawks are a Super Bowl contender, but with Russell Wilson, they're always going to find themselves on the edge of the playoffs, first round, divisional round of the playoffs, and they will be, I imagine, once again next year. At number 7, I expect a bounce back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. When Ben Roethlisberger comes back, I expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to remind us why they have been year in, year out, under Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, one of the best teams in the AFC. And I expect them to return to that position this coming year. And at number 6, the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys had an amazing draft. I think they have a new coaching staff, which solves one of their biggest problems, because it was coaching that was holding them back. They have an offense that is just absolutely getting lights out. And watch this defense continue to outperform people's expectations. The Dallas Cowboys at number 6. That's 10 through 6, but who are my top 5 teams in the NFL after the draft? Well, I'll lay those out for you a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. Stick around. Plus, who gets that 4th spot on the Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls? But next, there are suggestions that Draymond Green could be on the trade market. Rumors. If so, where would he fit? Draymond Green, the third wheel on a dynasty of superstars. Where would he fit in the NBA? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.